back to the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake.
We are back, baby. How are you doing, man?
I'm not doing too bad, man. I'm not doing too bad at all. I haven't really been sleeping lately, but that just means more creative hours in the night.
That's true. I used to always, when I first got into the industry, like my best ideas would come. I was working on American time, so I'd be up till 6 a.m. at least every night because I was trying to like do my best and be on Skype calls all through the night with the team. And I would come up with some of the best stuff ever in the early hours, the witching hours.
Dude, exactly the same. It's also, I find it's the hour when I decide, oh, I'm going to start a new business or I'm going to start a new project. And then you stay up all night making a website, making logos and just like putting so much creativity into something. It's the closing hours for me as well. I'll finish stuff off that I've like procrastinated on for months, just randomly at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, dude. I don't know what it is about that. And there is something about starting, like, just creating a new business just for fun. I have intentions of doing stuff, but I must have built like 10, 20 different businesses that just because I want to play with a new logo or brand.
Yeah,
And
same,
things
man.
like that.
There's like there must be like a defective gene in some people where it's just, oh, it's 2 a.m. I'll design like a fictional company and make a logo. Oh, I might as well buy the
Yeah.
URL as well.
God, I've got so many URLs. But aside from that, any news creatively with you?
I've been pursuing as much creativity as physically possible whilst still remaining sane. So it's been fun. I put out a PDF the other day called Homunculus, which wasn't an effect. It was a presentational kind of, I don't know, quirk. It was a way to present certain effects in a different way. And that went down pretty well. People seemed to enjoy it, even though it wasn't an effect, and it was more so a way to perform things with a bit of a different faux method and explanation.
What was it? So what was it about? Like,
so it was, do you know what a homunculus is?
No, yeah, that's why I've never heard of that before.
So homunculus is the desire of alchemists of yore. It's essentially a tiny, fully formed miniature human that is a lab assistant. It does the bidding of alchemists. They create it by
What?
putrefying human semen in a pumpkin in the womb of a horse for 40 days or whatever. It's this like whole weird alchemical process from 1543, where you can create a tiny little human lab assistant, and it's
What?
if you look it up, you'll see what I mean. It's just this old like legendary lore to regarding
Okay.
alchemists, and I have used it as a faux method jokingly, like with casual and social magic. So I will say that, you know, the reason I can do a certain thing is because I have a little assistant, I have a homunculus, and then I will make a little humanoid figure out of white tack, just a little ball of white tack, and then use that in, say, an ambitious card. But it's the stupidest, easiest way to do something where people really go, well, what the fuck is just, what have you just done? So I'll do a traditional ambitious card setup, say, at the very last moment, I'm showing them the double lift to show them that it's not on the top, and put the cards down and then ask them to put this little homunculus on top of the cards and then say, we're all going to leave the room and listen at the door to see if we can hear it rearranging the cards, and then
Oh, that's cool.
send someone else in and say, I'm not going to go anywhere near them, go and check if he's done his job. And it's like the tiniest little shift that makes people go, what the fuck have you just done? Like,
what? That's actually really cool. I suppose it's in a way like that little like that Tamara's moving car or like the secret goldfish that would mind reading,
yeah,
like an imp in a
yeah,
way.
yeah. It's shifting the blame elsewhere, and it's just a magician's helper.
That's sick. So what is it you put out, like a PDF full of all ideas that surround that?
Yeah, just kind of like scripting
Cool.
ideas and just like this whole Just like little routines to do with it. And it wasn't an effect. It was more so just, this is a weird presentational thing that I sometimes do when my friends say, what was that thing you showed me with that ball of white tack?
Mate, I love stuff like that. I remember years ago, my mother went to Puerto Rico or somewhere, and she brought me back. And I didn't do any magic with it, but she brought me. She must have been like looking for some fucking terrible gifts to buy or something, and oh, like last minute gifts. And she brought me back this tiny skull, and she told me, and of course, bullshit. She's like, oh yeah, I got. And she, but she like just they got this whole yarn of like, oh yeah, this is actually a human skull that they boiled up and they shrunk down, and I really picked it up off a guy selling them like in some sort of weird place. And I was so young because she went away with it's the first holiday she ever went on without me. And I fucking loved it. I remember like just they didn't do anything magic with it, but I remember like telling all my she must have been sat there looking at me like a fucking idiot. But I remember telling all my friends like this whole story, like recounting it all, how mysterious, how it was a real human skull. And we forget sometimes that folklore and urban legends and little things like that go a long way with some people. If you find the right crowd, the right audience, not to say that it's to kids should blindly listen to it, but some people just really, really buy into that stuff. Like I fucking did, and you forget about it. That's why I love the creations that you make so much, because they sort of tap into like childhood wonder, or like not childhood so much, but like universal like wonders of people that don't know about the mystery arts. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Some
there's
beautiful
some.
stuff, beautiful thinking.
Thank you, dude. There's something about opening a door a little bit further. So a lot of people will probably have heard of shrunken heads, or they'll have seen them on cartoons where it shows, a tribe in the jungle making little shrunken heads or something. And that might be as far as their knowledge of it goes, or they might have an experience where their mum bought them one from Puerto Rico. But if you like. Because you've got that initial jumping off point, it's like what we talked about with childhood games. If there's any form of recognition, someone goes, oh, I like you now because I know what you're talking about, and they're instantly invested.
Yeah, they can relate to it themselves. Like, oh yeah, I used to do this as a kid. Da, 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 da,
And I
da.
find that really, really does work with it is a certain type of person, someone who's non-combative, they're not like heckling you. If someone is interested in any way, usually some of the things you bring up, they'll be even more invested and interested in. But if you were to
Yeah.
bring up like shrunken heads, even if it was in the context of doing some kind of a card trick where the card has a normal sized head and it becomes shrunken, like just the fact that you've mentioned that makes certain people more interested in it because they're like, I remember that when I was a kid and I was obsessed with the fact that I might die from quicksand. For some reason, but there's just things that we loved when we were a kid.
It's remember when we were talking about the other day. I think we're okay to talk right here about those little hand paper folding things
Oh, yeah.
and the stuff we could do with that. That stuff that excites me.
Yeah,
What, like
definitely.
playground? What was it called?
I can't remember what they're called. But I think we've both played around with machines with them in the past, using them for certain things.
It's like you fold it into an origami thing. You put your fingers in, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4. Name a color, red, RED, and you flip and flap it. And we said like there's a Garcia trick with it where you reveal the only like triangle they pick on the inside is a tick, has a tick on it, and the rest have crosses. But there's actually like so much more you could do with it as well in terms of what were we saying? Like you could reveal star signs with it,
Yeah.
and you could have like 8 different ones in your pocket to switch out just before you begin, so that they don't even know that you've piqued their star sign and they're only going to be forced onto the right one and things like that.
Yeah, because it's paper as well. What's more easily indexable than some folded paper? Especially if you don't really need that many options.
If it was like a think of a color, then it's like 1 to 7, But what's the has 8 and is universally recognizable? Like star signs are 12, colors of the rainbow is 7.
Oh, dude, I used to get stuck on this topic so much when you're trying to think of progressive anagrams. I was like, what is a
Yeah.
category? What is a category that
That's
people care about?
true.
What is the eight
color
of? Hmm.
spider's legs.
Yeah. Fingers that aren't arms. God, I don't know.
It doesn't necessarily have to be eight, right? Like it's like seven dwarfs. Can you say seven? I don't know if you're allowed to say that, seven little people.
Well, I think mythologically dwarfs are a fantasy race rather than a reference to someone who's differently abled or
Yeah,
short in
true.
stature. So when you talk about Lord of the Rings dwarfs and stuff, I think that's okay.
That's what the word is. I don't know. We could go off on a big tangent here. But so what's something that there's eight of? I'm sure one of our listeners will write in and tell us something good.
There's something
And then
really,
I'll
really
agree with it.
obvious. How many planets are there?
Depends who you're asking on what year,
Oh,
but
that's true. That's true. There's
eight, is it?
Pluto
Is it eight?
deniers.
Well, Pluto. Is it eight?
Don't know. I don't know.
I'm currently like modeling something in a 3D software, so I'm struggling to use my brain to its full stupid potential.
Oh, it's all good,
All
man. At
right, let me
least
Google this. How many planets are there? There are eight planets in our solar system. You're right, Jake. So you could say to someone, think of a planet,
Yeah.
and then you take out that little origami thing that you put there's four finger holes in. And essentially, you say pick a color like red. Okay, you go R E D. Now pick a number between 1 and 8. 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. Now spell your name. JAKE. Boom. Okay, open. And then now pick one of the numbers. And I think it'll be like 1, 3, 5, or 7. Or it'll be 2, 4, 6, 8, wouldn't it? And then they'll pick one and it would say, you're thinking of Mercury.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing with that is how easy is it to just miscount anyway? Like,
Yeah,
to just add an extra
that's
opening
true.
or closing, that's stupidly easy.
But what you'd need to do realistically, or what you'd need, the information you'd need is you'd need to know the whatever planet they're thinking of ahead of time and whatever number they're going to say at the end. But that doesn't have to be necessarily said at the end because they're seeing four numbers in that last grid, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you're going to use, instead of using their name beforehand, you could say, right, we're going to spell your name now. So starting at the lowest number, so that either be a one and all the odd numbers or two and the even numbers, you could say, we'll start at one, spell your name. So we go JAKE, which would be the fourth one. So what you could do is you could find out what planet they're thinking of beforehand,
Yeah.
and you could take into consideration their name. So, like, for my name is Lloyd, it's five letters. I know. The number that I'm going to end on is going to be two, right? Because it'd start on two. So L, I'd move to four for the next letter, L. I'd move to six for the next one, which is O. I'd move to eight for the Y, if it was on even numbers, that is. And D would be back to the two.
Yeah.
So it's quite easy to sort of figure out on the fly. Kaylee's name is eight letters, so she'd end up back on the eight, would it be? I think, let me see, KAYLEIGH. Yeah, she'd end up back on the eight. And that was pretty fucking easy to figure out on the fly. So you meet someone, find out their name. Maybe you say, think of any of the planets. There are eight to choose from: Mercury, Venus, Mars. Is Uranus on there? I can't remember. Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, Jupiter, and Earth. Think of one. And then maybe they write it down and you peek it or something. Whatever. And then you say, okay, so now we're going to do name a number between 1 and 8. 1, 2, 3. And you go open, close, open, close, open, close. Oh, they're obviously going to steal out the index, the correct one.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter because you can make sure it always lands on say, like, you know that the fourth number is going to always be in position. Oh, yeah, that's the tricky thing, isn't it? It's the position that it's going to be in, too.
Yeah.
Or no, you could actually have all eight on this. You don't even need an index of them. You just know where they need to land. But then you'd need to force the. Oh no, so the index could potentially be based off of the position of the, so they'd all the planets would be on every one of the eight indexed version of the little game, but they'd be shifted one over for each one of the eight. So you'd need seven, actually, is it? Well, you'd need all eight, wouldn't you? So depending on someone's name, you quickly work out what number they end on. So tell me a name, a random name.
Robert.
Robin or Robert, did you say?
Robert.
Robert. So they're going to end up on position. They'd, if they were even numbers, let's say that would end up on a four or a six. Is that a six? ROBERT. Yes, the four. And it'll probably be some easy mnemonic to learn. So I know straight away that whatever planet Robert names, I need to pick up the index where that planet is on number
Right.
So I say, think of a planet. Maybe I use Cognito, or I just fucking peek it off of Billet. And now let's say they're thinking of Venus. So I think of Venus 8, whatever one that is. I pick that out of my pocket, fold it up, and say, okay, here we're going to go. Now I say, name a number from 1 and 8. It doesn't matter what it is. Now I say, name a color, the rainbow. Doesn't matter what it is. And then I'm going to like get them to like give me if they need to be on an even number, I need to end on even numbers in that little thing. So I'll ask them questions until I fucking end on one. You know, do you like sweet or spicy? Do
Yeah.
you want to, do you like staying in or out? Do you like hot or cold drinks? And once I've got to the even, I say, okay, perfect. Now, whatever your name is, we're going to start at the lowest number and spell to it. So ROBERT. Boom, you are here. With all those choices your own? Yes, da 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 da. You're thinking of one of the planets. Open it up. And the number and the planet is exactly on that number.
Yeah.
That'd be easy. It needs to be something more interesting than planets, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, if you looked at the kind of original use for them, the paper fortune tellers, I think that's what they usually referred to as, and like the history of them. I've just quickly looked it up, and there was stuff about there being like diagrams found from the 12th century that looked like they were to do with them, like they're pretty old horoscope stuff. So I think you've mentioned it before when we talked about it last time, the idea of the only triangle having something on being the one that they chose is interesting.
Oh yeah, so it's just pl everything's plain on it then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. You could use friction ink on some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be quite cool, couldn't it?
The yeah.
So you get, I mean, you could use that as a visual reveal at the end, the friction ink.
Yeah. What's kind of interesting with them is the fact that you could make it on the fly as well, and that be part of what is going on. So you could have them write down a piece of information, or you acquire a piece of information through an app or whatever way you do it, and then you say, okay, we're gonna predict your fortune. We're going to make one of these, and then I'm going to write in each of the triangles. So you just write down what it is that you've peaked. You know, like I imagine that you're this type of person, and you will be thinking of this, and then just pretend to write in all the other ones, and then just use it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's cool, actually.
Although it's, a little bit maybe process heavy because it might take a few minutes, so you would have to have some decent scripting to make up for it whilst you're pretending to write.
What else? You could use tarot cards. You know, they pick a tarot, what they believe is a tarot card at random. I mean, when you think of it on like it's outs on the outset of it, you can use it to force and reveal. And you could probably use it to like force further on, like something more removed from it too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just another process, but then it could get too process heavy. Yeah, but on its outset, you can use it to force and reveal. Are we missing anything there?
I'm not too sure.
Force reveal, like could it be used as an out? Which
Oh.
is, that's essentially the same thing. No.
Yeah, utility wise, if you just look at it in its simplest form, it is a folded piece of paper. So it's fairly versatile just as a utility for probably a lot more things than we're thinking of. I do like the idea of using it as a force, especially if there is an element of it being in their hands, but you knowing where they've landed is kind of interesting to maybe explore.
So you're like, so maybe, yeah, that's cool because you could say, you take it in your own hands, count, start at the lowest number, spell your name, Robert, or whatever it's going to be, and remember what is there, and don't tell me. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Or the way I kind of thought of it was that perhaps each of them would be categories or subjects, and then that helps you funnel from something that is seemingly everything, but you obviously force them towards countries you've visited or animals that you like, or something like that you can then use in a further effect. But
Like it could be conditions. Like for example, you could say, think of like it could just on the basics of it could say hot, cold. So you're like, so but you don't know. So you're like, okay, think of whatever the word says, and can you think of a country like that? And and you can narrow it down. So cold countries, people only have to think of like Sweden, Iceland, Helsinki, Denmark, whatever, or the
yeah.
Arctic. But it feels quite open. So you could use it to like specify them onto something like that. It could say numbers, pictures, for example. And you say, okay, whatever it says, think of a playing card that is like that. Do it again. And this time it could say odd, even, male, female, so you could force them onto female picture card. And then the last time, you can't do more than twice because there's gonna be, well, if there's eight categories to choose from, odd, even, male, female, numbers, pictures, and then suits, black, red, that's eight.
All right.
But there's three that means they have to pick three different numbers from that. Are we getting too out there with this thinking of people? And if people don't know what the hell we're talking about, then this could be a very.
You know what? That's true. Maybe shelve it for a moment because it might be one of those ones where something will line up and pop into our head and go, wait, that's what the use is, instead of trying to force it.
Although, dude, thinking about that now, the playing card constructor, where you're like, look, inside here, we have a bunch of things. We have numbers, pictures, faces. Numbers, pictures, male, female, odd, even, red, black. What you're going to do, you're going to use, what are they called? Cat's cradle or something?
Paper fortune teller, or they might, it
Paper
might be one
fort.
of
We're
those
going to
things with
use this.
regional names.
Yeah, okay. We could think of a cool name for it then. The mystifier, the fort, the seer or some shit. The mystery, the paper owl, the paper mystic or some shit. And then you're like, right, so what are you going to do? We're going to ask you a bunch of questions. Each time you're going to end up on one of these number squares, you're going to open it on these squares. Underneath them is going to say odd, even, number, picture, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it says each time, you're going to start to create a thought, to create a playing card using it. If you end up on the same one, like even and then even, or red and then red, just make sure you change it, and we'll go again until you get three separate options. But basically, you can create any playing card in the deck using this paper engine. I don't know, Bishop Look. Now, a paper brain, I don't know, the Enigma machine, something. So then you go through the motions, you're right. So you're going to create a playing card completely at random. Da -da 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 -da. Boom, open it. Okay, remember that and start to create a playing card. We'll do it two more times. Da -da -da -da. Remember it, start to put it together. And then basically, you want it at the end on a black queen card, because the female part will be the bit that like narrows them right down.
Yeah.
So then they can only be 2 hours. Oh, dude, you know what would be the coolest thing ever? Is
What?
if when you unfold the entire thing, it's the queen that you forced.
Oh, that's
You
fun.
unfold the entire thing, and like written on the back of it is like queen of spades. Or there's a queen of clubs in your wallet. Like you could have named any of these cards. My wallet's been sat there the entire time. Go ahead, look at the one card inside it. And the other out is that you unfold it, and it's the fucking queen of clubs.
You know what? There's something ridiculously
Queen of
beautiful about
spades.
just a really simple binary out that just seems impossible. And that's a good one. Written on the bottom of it is a really good, binary out.
Binary out? What's that mean?
Just like where there's two options and it
Oh,
looks more
yeah.
impressive. Like it looks so impressive. Sometimes I think that two options looks more impressive than like 10.
Yeah, I do too. Oh, I wonder if the out, I wonder if it's indexed in a way that once you acquire someone's name, that like, I'm just trying to think, like, so say like I get, say we use the name Jake, right? So you're like, right, so boom, we've ended up here. You can see inside the numbers are 1, 3, 5, and 7. Starting at the lowest number, spell your name. Du -du 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 -du, Jake. Open it up, number 7, and it says picture card. Close it up. Say, now we're gonna go again. So Jake, do you prefer hot, cold? Do you prefer sweet, spicy? Do you prefer whatever? Da -da -da. We'll stop again. This time it's again, it's on even numbers. So we'll spell your name again, but we're gonna jump the same number.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you spell the name 3 times, no matter what the name is, if they jump in one letter each time or one number each time, then potentially you only need an index of 8 out. So I say, right, we'll spell your name again, but this time we've used 7, so we'll just skip it. So we'll go J A K E, and this time you'll be back on 1. And the last time you've got to force it to be on even numbers. So you go boom, 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 boom. Okay, even numbers. Now we'll start again. Lowest number, J-A-K-E, ending up on number 8. So the numbers would be, in terms of this, 7, 8, 1, right? So that you'd write picture, female, black on those 3 numbers. And I'm trying to think now, if it was a different name, would it just be that the starting point, if the three, with the 3 numbers, since you're skipping one each time, the 3 fourth numbers would always be consecutive.
Right.
3 fourth positions. So if the name was Lloyd, for example, right, which is 5 of them, 5 letters, I'm gonna actually write, I'm gonna put an ace, a two, sorry, I'm gonna put a two, a four, and an eight down, and I'll tell you what happens, right? 2, 4, a six, and eight. Being stupid. 2, 4, 6, 8. So right. So my name's Lloyd. I'm guessing that the positions for this before we do it would be 4, 6, and 8. 4 being the first one. If you know, oh no, because we also need the odd number. So let's say we did. So let's say it ended up on an odd position first, spelling Lloyd. It'd go 1, 3, 5, 7, 1. And the next time you couldn't do the one. So if we end up on odd numbers again, it'd be 3, 5, 7, 3, 5. Oh no, it wouldn't be, yeah. And then the next time it would be, if it was on even numbers for the last one, it would be 2. So I suppose it's different. All you'd really need to know then is the amount of letters in someone's name, and maybe there's 8 outs, because it doesn't matter what the name is, right? It just matters the amount of letters. So if you tell me someone's name had 6 letters, like Robert, I'd pull out the flappy thing that has that is just set for 6.
Yeah, but what's good about stuff where it is just odds and evens, I guess, is you could say to them, okay, now put your finger on the first number and then move to the next one and say the first letter of your name and then so on. Or you can say, put your finger on the first one and say the first letter of your name, and you can control what it lands on really easily. You know,
Wait, what?
so I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking wrongly here, but so if I'm spelling, say these, the fingers on my hand are the segments, and I'm just holding up my hand here, and I'm spelling Jake, and so it's JAKE, or I say to them, put your finger on the first segment and then move and spell your name, and now it's JAKE, so you can control which it lands on very easily.
I'm with you.
Or I'm just chatting shit, which could be a possibility because
No, I don't think, you know, because it is a way to manipulate the position that it's in each time.
yeah, and depending just on whether it's odd or even amount of letters in their name. I don't know. I'm not good with numbers.
No, same here. You're pretty good. But it's an interesting concept to sort of go through though, isn't it?
It seems like there's a lot there that you could do if you were smart.
Yeah, if you weren't me.
If you weren't me. It's, I don't know. It's really nice, kind of fairly fertile territory, it seems like.
I'm just thinking it'd be so much better if you didn't have to have eight outs or eight index cut. It starts with eight indexes. Like you're saying, if you could just manipulate that position. I mean, I'm trying to think if you could always make it. Say for example, the orientation is going to be they land on odd numbers, even numbers. If there are three questions you ask, they will always get the same answers each time.
Oh, right.
So you it's always going to be the same. Like the really most basic one is a stupid one, but you could say to someone decide like. If both answers had three, if both answers had three letters in it, is what I'm saying,
Yeah.
decide on the word yes or hot. Okay, starting at one, count each letter. One, two, three. Okay, good.
What you could do instead is just have separate lines of questioning that you use. So if you were to say to someone, do you prefer hot drinks or cold drinks? That's three and four letters. So depending on if they spell free, the second question you ask is different.
Oh, mate, what if it was, sorry, I think going back to your other idea of start either starting on the number and moving
Yeah.
or saying it out loud at the first position, because you can change it each time, say like this time just silently in your head, put your finger on it and spell. Well, in that scenario, like you could say, decide if you prefer being hot or cold. Well, they can always end up on the fourth position with that question. Because if they spe if they begin count, so put your finger here and now start counting for hot, HOT, they'd end up on the fourth position. If you say we're starting at one, tell everyone, starting at one, we're gonna spell it COLD again at the fourth position. So all you need is three questions that have answers that will put them that are just one letter difference. So yes, no, hot, cold, happy, morbid.
Yeah, that makes
It.
sense. Ah, that's interesting.
Could easily be done. If that's the case, then because what's nice for that, you can say, look, if you change your mind. And you went with cold, we'd be one letter back or one number back. Or if it was one letter more, it'd be this. You can show it all around each time and you've got it. Dude, this is actually completely viable.
Yeah, I think the questions would maybe be worth spending time on the questions just so that people don't think that they're foot leading questions.
Oh, of course. That'd be the most important part of this.
Yeah, because if it was, obviously we're just saying it for simplicity's sake, but if it was hot or cold, people say, well, obviously I prefer being hot, so you knew I was going to pick that. So it's worth working
Yeah,
with it.
you could say like it could be questions about if you could, would you want to know something about your past or your future? Would you want to die old or ugly? But like questions about them.
That would be better than something that could be considered leading, because you don't want to throw away this kind of conceit that it is
Yeah.
truly like up to them.
It'd be cool if the numbers were like, okay, so we picked a three, a seven, and an eight. So, and you've decided to think of a queen of clubs. 3 plus 7 is 10, plus 8 is 18. 18, queen of clubs. Is there any way that I could have possibly known this in advance? No, and then you could deal down in another deck, and the queen of clubs would be there.
Well, if you're thinking of it that way, couldn't you have a bunch of cards arranged that were there no matter what numbers they used? If they're all separate numbers.
I was just thinking exactly the same thing, but then if they chose like odd black number cards, then you have eight to choose from, I think. Something like that. Eight,
Right, yeah.
two, four, six, eight, ten. That's times two. It says 10 to choose from.
Was it so? So when you're thinking about where the complication point is in a selection or a force, that is the point where it gets too complicated. So you just always need to go towards pictures, and you could engineer some way where it doesn't matter what suit and it doesn't matter what value. The only thing that does matter is they choose pictures over numbers.
Yeah. Oh, Jake, I want you to, now that we put the groundwork in, I want you to make this a pro not product. I want you to make this a real trick to perform. Think of all the clever questions, because I'm so shit at this stuff.
I can help with questions. I'm not smart enough to wait, to figure out the like the pattern behind it.
That's the easy part, though, I think, because yeah, we can work together and just make this.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good to me. We can yeah, we can do some homework on it maybe. And share it in the group. Speaking of the group,
Agree.
before we started this, I was saying, why don't we do a kind of mixed bag episode and run through a couple of suggestions or topics that people have wrote in about and that have been sadly ignored for a little while?
Okay. Well, that's, there's no time like the present.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of them in my head, so I'm not even going to bother going. Find them where I've put my phone because I dropped it down the side of the table there somewhere. So our friend David Peace from Deceive Reality wrote in the Facebook group the concept, the idea of deja vu would be an interesting one to explore. I know for a fact I've seen card tricks that use deja vu as a premise. Outside of card tricks, I can't remember seeing anything, but I could be very, very wrong. Well, what I did like about that is on his post, someone said it. I feel like I've heard you this idea before.
What?
On his post where he suggested it as a topic, someone said, I feel like I've heard this idea before.
Deja vu.
Which did get a little giggle out of me. Deja vu. But that is it. That is a really interesting premise for something. You know, when you think of kind of out there presentations that are maybe not necessarily workers and they are custom built for like a casual kind of magic. You know, the kind of stuff that we talk about, like the long con pipe dream kind of angle.
Yeah.
I can think of like some you could go down some really weird paths with deja vu as a conceit.
You know, when I was my last 3 years, I didn't really attend, but the last like 3 years of comprehensive school, I used to have a lady called, we called it, her name was, her nickname was Jackie Yank, because she was married to an American who worked for NASA called Ray. Everyone called him Ray the Yank, and she lives in Wales. And for 3 years, she used to not ba well, kind of like babysit me. But every day after school, she my because my mum was working two jobs, she would be there just to like sort my tea out and stuff and make sure I wasn't more mainly to stop me being naughty. And she was a psychic or trained as a psychic medium. There's no such thing, obviously, but she was super passionate about it. And I completely, you know, I kind of like almost completely forgotten. I actually seen her about 2 years ago, walking down the street talking to herself, which is like weird. But she had 14 cats, and because he'd passed away, he had a NASA funeral in Wales, which is kind of cool.
That is very
Her
cool.
husband, but yeah, it's pretty cool, right? Anyway, so but she used to go to these psychic meetings every Tuesday in the center called Owl and Moor, which is just up the road, and she would come back and she would tell me all about it. I'm kind of having like a bit of a fucking trip down memory lane here, because I don't think I've even told you or spoken about this before. And she would, anyway, she would tell me about all these like exercises they would do to become psychic. One of them was that she would sit in a chair And then anyone in the group would come and stand behind her. She wouldn't know. And she would imagine like a water wheel, like a mill wheel, turning through her body. And as it would come up, it would pick up feelings and pass them through her. And she would try and pick up. It's all bullshit. But she used to talk about deja vu. And she said what they that deja vu, and I think this is just the common thinking on it, but I remember her telling me that deja vu or precognition or something, but deja vu meant everyone has this blueprint to their life, and you're not necessarily going to follow that blueprint exactly. But the moments that you have deja vu meant that you were perfectly aligned up on your blueprint for that moment in time. And it was you remembering that you were on the right, or realizing you were on the right path to your life. So not, not everyone follows the path that they're meant to, but the moments you were like, oh, I'm like deja vu here, was a moment where it meant you were doing the right thing. And every time I like, everyone has deja vu. Every time Kaylee would like, oh, she did it a couple of days ago, and I said, oh, that means you're on the right path of your life. Complete bullshit. I don't bullshit. It's just a little thing I would say. I think a lot of people probably say that, but to me, anyway, at least that's how I've always had deja vu represented to me. So I wonder if we could create something along the lines of that. With that like whole idea of, oh, if you're experiencing this and it feels like it's something you've experienced before, although you know for a fact that you haven't, it just means that you're doing the right, you're making the right, like you can use it as an empowering thing. You can, you can use it to make it feel like someone's chosen the right path. Or, if you know that big decision you've got to make in a couple of weeks' time, you're going to make the right decision because right now, this moment, you're on the right path. So just follow your instincts. You could use it as like an affirmation.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? An affirmation?
Yeah, I really like that because a lot of the, well, I say a lot of, a fairly decent sized amount of the work that I put out in PDFs usually ends with some kind of empowerment at the end, just because that is the way I like to perform. I like to leave something with someone that is positive, like a, whether that is an affirmation or just a nice tingly feeling. But that's a really interesting one because a lot of people do suffer from that kind of insecurity where it's the same reason that actual say.
I should be married and I'm 40. I should have had kids 10 years ago. I don't think I'm, and if you can say, well, actually, the fact that you're experiencing this and you feel like you already have, it means you're doing it the right way. You were meant to be in this moment.
Yeah, you're doing just fine. Just enjoy the ride. It's already like planned out for you. I mean, that does get down to the argument of free will and predeterminism, but that's for another subject entirely. But people enjoy that, no, you're doing the right things. This is what you were meant to do. Especially like everyone suffers from insecurities and thinking, what could have happened if I did this? What could have happened if I did that? I haven't found a purpose. Like, I don't really know where I'm supposed to be heading. Like, a lot of people feel that way. And it is nice sometimes to be reminded, like, no, you've arrived at this point for a reason. It's because this is the way that you're going to get to where you want to go.
I wonder if you could do something as simple as this, right? There's a few different ways you could approach this. But thinking of this like with my magic lizard brain,
Yeah.
my lame magician head, on the most basic outset of it. Let's say you're like, right, I'm gonna try and do something with you here. I know maybe you're talking to a friend, you're like, I know you're at a crossroads and you feel like you're not achieving your full potential, or that you're not doing things that you were supposed to do in life by this point. But I think you are. And I'm gonna try and show you that you're on. I'd explain what I was always told deja vu meant. And I'd say, so what we're gonna do is this. I'm gonna place well, I'm not I wouldn't do that yet. I'm gonna place my phone over here, I'm gonna hit record on my phone. We'll take some cards because they're the tools of my trade. And you're going to pick one card out, look at it, remember it, show it to the camera, and we'll lose it back into the deck. And then you turn over a different card on top. Say, I'm going to find your card. Ready? One, two, three. And you show a different card on top of the deck to the one that they see. And they say, no, it's not. And you say, no. I was going to say basically what ends up happening is that you play the video back on your phone And you totally did show them that card previously. But that isn't really deja vu then, because they're not remembering that they've seen it. They're not getting that sense that they've experienced that before. You kind of need to create a moment that repeats itself. You know what I mean? It's almost like you want to start, for example, with a deck spread face down. And then you do a triumph routine, and then you spread it face down again. Or do you know what kind of, sorry, I'm a little bit AWOL here. It could be as simple as like, right, I'm going to take the two jokers out of the deck and place them over here. And there's two cards now face down, spread apart on the table. Right? And now I can begin. And maybe, yeah, you don't even have to record on your phone. I like the idea of using the phone to draw, call back it, but it doesn't matter. Now you have a card selected, lost in the deck, right? And you take the two jokers, put them in the box, right? But you've made that little picture moment at the start where there's two cards face down spread on the deck, on the table top. Jokers get put away, then they choose a card, lose it in the deck. No, then they choose a card and you place that card on its own face down on the table. And you say, in a moment, we're going to come back to that, to this. You chat, misdirect. When they look down, now there are two cards in exactly the same position as the jokers, and you're like, "Oh, hang on, this is a bit like deja vu." You know what I mean? Because it's like this moment is being recreated. Like, do you get the sense of deja vu? I'm sure we just did this. Now you turn over that card, which is now two jokers, and in the box is their selected card. And maybe you play a video on your phone of like, "Before I begin, this card's going to go in the box. I'm never going to put it in the deck." You know, watch this. Watch. I got something interesting on my phone. And play it back. I don't know, something like that. So I get basically what I'm trying to say is like this idea of like you create a visual image, clean that image away, and then 10 seconds later or a minute later, when they look back to that framing, the image has been recreated. You're like, oh, this is like deja vu.
I have an idea, and it's probably not as good as your idea there, but
It's probably better, to be honest with you.
it's pieced together from elements that I've just stolen from you there. So I really liked some of the wording you used earlier when you were describing deja vu, and I really like the idea of recording something. So this is just probably a bad idea, but you could go out and do it now, and it would work very well. Is if you perform an invisible deck. So you say to someone, the concept of deja vu, some people think that it is not necessarily that it's happened before, but it is, our cosmic child within us. It is our soul recognizing the blueprint that we saw, the predetermined fate that we had. And every now and again, when people see echoes of the past or visions of the future, that's them just recognizing the path that they were always destined to walk down. I've got a deck of cards on the table. If you were to close your eyes and imagine that this has already happened, I go through the cards and there is a card in there that is turned over. And then you see which card it is. The cards go down, they go back in the case. And if you were to imagine that this has already happened, what card is it that you see in your blueprint? And they say, seven of diamonds or whatever.
Eight of diamonds. Oh.
Oh, and you say, okay, take out your phone and start recording and close your eyes and you can watch this later and we'll see if it lines up, but I just want you to record it for now. And then you very openly just perform an invisible deck, put it away. Because you put it away, you've got rid of the gimmick, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And whenever they look at their phone, that is what they have recorded, and they can see the process from you taking the cards out of the deck to showing the card. Which is interesting. I mean, it moves the reveal to whenever they look at it, which might not be interesting, but I kind of like it.
I do like it. Yeah, I love incorporating phones in an analog sense in terms of like there's no app, it's just something like you're just using it. It scratches an itch for people when they are out there. I love that presentation. I love that. Like, of if you could imagine you'd lived this moment before already, what did you say then that you'd like to bring forward to now?
And that's really nice because there it does end with that affirmation. Because what you could then say to them is, what is it that you want to accomplish with your life? What do you see you accomplishing in the future? They tell you their dreams, and you say, okay, so now if you watch that video and if you were right, then surely you're going to be right about the rest of the things you want in life.
Oh well, fuck. Doing that, you could make it like a longer. Oh, I was thinking that if you, like, you could create like a longer con
Yeah.
in terms of like an no, it sort of evaded me then, but if it was just like, look. I don't know. No, it's sort of evading me, but I was going to say, like, essentially the same thing, but they do it blindly. So there's no invisible deck, and it gives you time to do something. Like, for example, you record them taking a card out of the deck, placing it into an envelope, and taking it home with them without looking at it.
Yeah.
And then you say, whenever you feel you need to know if you're on the right path or not, open up that envelope. But I sort of got taken adrift with it,
No, dude,
and
that's
it
really
went.
nice because the well, that's the way of doing it without a phone, which some people might prefer. And what do you need to do that? You do not need anything. You just do a classic force. Just do any kind of a force, and just do a cross cut force, but. You know, all you're doing is cutting their selection that they've said they imagine cut selecting to the top.
What if it was something like this, where you spread the deck face up? You're like, I want you to take out any one of these cards, but don't look at it. So I'm going to turn them face down and just slide one towards yourself. Place it in this black envelope. Do not look at it. Don't look at it until you need to make a big decision.
Yeah.
And when you do that and you've opened it, give me a call. And, name a playing card. But once it's sealed in. Anyway, maybe they're trying to figure out whether they should, go full time as a magician. And they remember the envelope, and they open it up, and they look in it, and inside's a blank playing card, and it just says the time is now. So it doesn't really have a tr I mean, this is not really deja vu, but it helps them. And maybe like on the back of the card it says, "Oh, I'm eight of hearts."
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
It could just be that you force the card, right? And then all the cards have some nice, like, affirming message on it. Maybe it's like a Mirage deck or whatever those decks are. You can spread it face up and then turn it face down, and whatever card they slide out will always be the one step to the back. So they're all identical, and they all say, like, the answer is yes or some shit. So you psychologically force that card, or however you do it, using digital force. Like, think of a card. Great. Now look, all of these cards are different. You can see that I'm spreading them face up. Slide one towards you. Put it in the envelope. And whenever you need to make a big decision, open that envelope up and look at it. And now the card is right, but also there's a message on the card that says the time as well.
Yeah, dude, you don't even need a Mirage deck or anything. All you do is just so say the cards are turned. I'm turning the cards horizontally here, and the message is written here. You are on the right path. So you can spread them, and you can't see that because it's on the opposing.
Yeah, but you'd have to force the card that they're thinking of. That's why I thought you could just use like a
Yeah,
semi-auto force deck.
that's true. But I mean, if you have got,
Or
edge markings,
Svengali.
or you've just got a marked deck, it's you can easily just cut it to the top.
What if it's something like this? I say, Jake, take this envelope and examine it. Remember this moment. Now, every card is different. Take one card out, slide it in the envelope, seal it up. Don't ever look at it until you have a big decision to make in your life, and you're not sure which way you could fall on that decision. You haven't made your mind up. And then they go home and they call you because they've opened the envelope and it's empty. And like, that's the deja vu bit. You're like, hang on, didn't you check that it was empty before? Like, so you're creating this little snapshot of something they've already done.
Yeah.
I know it's not really a trick, and maybe there's got to be some clever way you could, what I'm saying is that, like this moment of them checking an envelope's empty, they go home, they know there's a card inside there, blah blah blah, they've been holding it for weeks, and then suddenly they open it and they're back to the moment they checked it was empty. Like, takes them straight back there. Not really deja vu. Well, it's kind of like just making a card vanish ultimately, but you're trying to frame that moment of it gone as like a memory of it being gone.
I don't, I'm very, very confused right now.
What have you experienced deja vu in the past?
Well, so the common kind of
As opposed to the
the common media representation of deja vu is like, oh, that's something I've seen before. I don't know if I've ever really had that. Usually I have it based on the way that I'm feeling, and I assume that it comes from two different ways of this happening. But usually it will be, oh, that's weird. Like, I just got the same feeling that I had when I smelt like cut grass when I was 7 in the garden playing on the swings. And like, I had that same feeling. Or it will be something that I assume is to do with short-term memory, where it feels like, haven't I been in this situation before where that person messaged me and then I had to go do this? And it's not necessarily seeing something, it's more like this weird jarring thing in my head where it's like, I've been in this situation before, haven't I?
I see what you mean. I mean, Kaylee, at the end of the day, we were walking towards our mum's. That's why I said to her, "Oh, you're in the right grouping." She's like, "But my mind seemed to be along these lines," which is, she was just walking past the school, and I was like, "Oh, look at, have you ever noticed that house there, Kaylee? It's like a, it's just half a house and it's sideways or something." I said to her, and she's, "Oh, I'm having deja vu right now. I exactly happening before." I remember having it. And then a few times, and I've said, like, as this happens, I've said, "Oh, I'm having deja vu." And in a minute, that kid's going to cross the road or something like that. And sometimes it happens. And I can't remember what it is, but it fully feels like a script is being etched, scratching being itched, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I wonder if, but I wonder if that's what you say, like, you know, you say, "Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm having a moment of deja vu right now, and I'm going to predict what's going to happen next." What name card? And they say seven of hearts. Yeah, I fucking knew it. Seven of hearts.
Yeah.
So the deja vu is your experience in the deja vu, not them, basically. So you're kind of flipping it on its head,
That's
and it's
cool.
but it confirms to them that they're on the right path in life.
Yeah, especially if it's more of a confabulation, like if there is events that you can rely on, then even if they don't necessarily come to pass, you know, you're sitting in a busy cafe, and you say, "Oh, that's so weird. I just got this feeling of deja vu." It feels like a group of kids are going to come into the cafe in the next 10 minutes. You're going to choose a card. And the barista's gonna shout out a name a bit too loud. What,
Yeah.
you know, like a confabulation where it could probably happen. It might be interpreted as happening, or it doesn't really matter if it happens at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, a car horn's gonna go off outside in the next 15 minutes. You're
Oh,
gonna
that
think of
person,
a.
somebody's gonna take a really obnoxious phone call in the next
Yeah.
10 minutes. The barista is gonna, no, the woman carrying the tray is gonna spill it. And you're gonna tell me a playing card. Wait, let me put it down. Yeah, what's the card? Okay, let me just see. Let's just wait to see what happens next. Bum, 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 bum. And as soon
Yeah.
as you see one of those things happen, that's the phone call. That's the phone call. You just call it, you know, and
Yeah, dude. Oh, there are so many little seeds you could plant with that. Like, oh, this is so weird. It feels like this day's happened before. You know, we're gonna leave here, and we're gonna leave here and carry on walking down the road, and someone's gonna run past us. Just like little things that will probably happen in like a town center or something.
do you know what? Do you know what would be kind of cool? This sounds ridiculous, right? But it would be crazy. We were sitting in my in-laws' garden on the weekend, and a bird shit on Kaylee's arm. But if you could get like some fake-looking bird shit
Yeah.
and put it on your shoulder, and you're like, "Oh, the bird's gonna shit on me or you when we go outside." Nah. Okay, that's weird. But I feel like I'm just living this moment before. I feel like we did this. That guy took an obnoxious phone call. She spilled a drink. You named the same playing card I've just put down. And then on the way home, a bird's going to shit on one of us. So then, but then you control them, you know. So the card gets named right. You can say, I think that was the optional phone call, but he was speaking quieter than when I experienced it before. She's just spilled her drink. You can see her cleaning the table. Let's go home. And you go home and you're like, oh, fucking hell, I'm not even kidding. Have I got anything on my back? And they're like, yeah, there's a fucking bird shit on me.
Yeah, dude, you know, if you are someone who wears the same jacket fairly consistently, when it's winter, I tend to wear the same coat, for the most part. Or, you know, you can obviously engineer the fact that you're wearing a certain coat. If you just take a picture of like bird shit on the shoulder one day when it happens and just save that photo and just be like, when I go ho on the way home, a bird's gonna shit on me. And then you just send it to them after and be like, you're never gonna believe what's just happened.
What if you use something like Matthew Beesh's watermark, you know, Scotch spray,
Oh yeah.
and you spray a napkin in the with that like inverted face of Jesus stencil, and then you put that napkin with their stuff, right? And you spill a bit of coffee on the tray, and you mop it up, and then you're like, oh, this is the weirdest thing that's ever going to happen. I wrote down. Do you ever write down your deja vu memories? I wrote down that someone was gonna clean coffee, and it was gonna be the face of Jesus in the napkin, and then they turn over the napkin, and it's got the face of Jesus in the stains, you know, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
But that'd be like way too fucking thingy to
Dude, no, I
little
love it.
accidents you could predict are so much fun
Yeah,
because
I
you can.
did just thinking about it now, things that you can reliably predict that appear bigger because, you know, well, it's confirmation bias. It's the same reason that, you know, Barnum statements and stuff like that work. It's so
Oh,
fun.
you could set up your phone to go ping with a text off a mate or your missus or whatever, and it says like, "Can you grab three cabbages on the way home? I'll explain later."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, this is the strange thing. My wife's texting me about fruit and veg or some shit. And I'm sure she was going to. You're going to make a mess, and it's going to have a funny face. You're going to play. I wouldn't even bother doing the playing card shit, you know."
Yeah. I think the something that is reliable is important, but the rest can just be super hazy. And
Yeah.
you know, something like predicting a text on its own, that is the easiest, boring, most, you know,
Yeah.
simple thing in the world. But because it is so casual and it is a part of, it is nothing in the grand scheme of like this larger prediction or this larger deja vu moment that you've laid out. It becomes more impressive because it's less like of a isolated thing. It's less of a big deal. And just a little collection, three, four, five things, like that's really, really beautiful.
I'm
What
trying
is
to think,
the
can you do something like engineer a moment? Like if you clock someone's order in front of you as you order, and then you're like, oh, and then someone's gonna order like a pumpkin latte over there, and then on the way out with your mate, you're like, what they ordered. And you're like, what's your order? Pumpkin latte. You know, and they're like, what the fuck? You know, but you already know something like that.
Well, you know, if you're in line ordering a drink, I can't remember which cafes do it. I think Starbucks does. When people shout names, you just listen to the name of the person in front of you and then go sit down and say, she's going to shout John or Johnny. I don't know. It's going to begin with a J. And that will be fairly predictable for, you know, within the next 5 minutes or so.
You could do something like this. You're like, she's gonna burn herself and shout a bad word out in a minute. But what you secretly do when your friend goes to the toilet, you go up and you order a coffee for the name PHUK. It's a
Yeah,
Thailand
yeah.
name or something, you know? And she and then like 10 minutes later, she goes, fuck. And you're like, what?
Dude, that's actually pretty cool. Oh shit. Oh, you know what? You know, if you're like with a group of mates and one of them is in on it, like
Yeah.
there's so many more options. But oh, that's really, really cool. And yeah, I like that.
Like she's gonna start shouting out for someone to make love to, and then she goes, "Amanda, hug and kiss. Amanda, hug and kiss. I need
Well,
Amanda, hug and kiss."
What are some seemingly outlandish but easily predictable things? So if I was in Liverpool City Centre, I know for a fact that over the span of, half an hour, I'm probably going to
You'll
walk
see
past
five
some.
junkies fight.
Yes. Probably going to walk past someone arguing, fairly reliably. You're in a city centre. There's going to be a couple arguing over going to Primark again, or,
There's that one. Maybe a street preacher.
Yeah, there's definitely a one or two of those knocking about. You could you know what? I really like this throwaway kind of idea, because if you're going past, if you know you're gonna walk past the busker, you could throw out like a genre or a song even. And if something hits, it hits.
Oh, I mean, on the way in, if you see a busker, you go, dude, I'm gonna give you $20. The moment you see me later, start playing Tom's Diner by Suzanne Vega.
Hell yeah. Ba ba
But don't
ba
acknowledge
ba
me. $20, stay
ba
here for 20 minutes, I'll be back, right? And they're like, yeah, no worries, man. And then, your friend, like, oh, I don't know why, I'm getting the sense of deja vu. All I can hear is like Tom's Diner playing in my head.
Dude. I have such an affinity for that song, because when I was a young kid, I used to like going into the field behind my house and digging holes to find treasure. And I found a cassette tape of Suzanne Vega just buried in the ground, and
What?
I've
Were they
still
like
got it.
original songs?
What?
No, you haven't. Were they
Yeah.
like original recordings or something?
No. It was the cassette tape.
What? That's cool. That's
Bizarre.
weird. See, now that's a fucking story there.
Hmm.
When I was younger, I found a cassette tape buried in the grass, and there was a song that was on it. I won't tell you what the song is, but it was Suzanne Vega from the DNA remix version.
Dude, we've mentioned it a couple of times in earlier episodes of this, but it feels like the longer that you're into magic, the stuff that excites you is more so the premise than like a new method. And every now and again, you think of something, or you remember something from your past, like some of the stuff you were saying then about the lady who practiced, the psychic arts. Like, there's some like super super cool stuff in there. That water wheel thing is like really really easily accessible explanation for, like a faux method.
Yeah, it's true. You could have someone standing behind. Yeah, you could say like, think of the name of someone, stand behind me, and we're going to create a water wheel. And as you think about those emotions, imagine the water flowing over and splashing over onto me, and I'm going to try and, soak myself in your energy.
Yeah,
I think
dude.
I've seen films like that.
Yeah, same. Yeah. But stuff like that excites me, and then stuff like you saying then, that's a plot for something. I found a cassette tape buried in a field when I was seven. For some reason, I've always had an affinity for this song. That's just a premise that
See,
you haven't
because
heard that
what's
you like.
interesting about that, dude, is that if you did double writing, so you haven't, you're like, I'm going to write down, so tell me the name of an artist, you write it down on a post-it note. But cassettes would be written on the tape, on the piece of sticky paper on the front. So you could have a cassette palmed in your hand, and they say, I don't know, the Isley Brothers or something, some fucking stuff. And you write that down on the cassette tape as you write it down on the post-it note.
Yeah.
And then you palm that into a cassette loaded into a box filled with dirt.
Dude.
And then you say, inside this box, I have a jar of dirt. And in my jar of dirt, I have a cassette. And on that cassette is written something. And you bring it out and say, we don't have a cassette player, but.
Dude, if you have like a notebook, a fairly thick notebook, you could just have like, most of it hollowed out and have the cassette right there in there.
You know, like how in like Guardians of the Galaxy is mixtape volume 3 sort of thing,
Yeah.
so you just write on it like that with a different tipped color Sharpie as well, so they think it's a black Sharpie and you write it in red.
Yeah, you go to write their prediction. Oh, this pen's ran out. Let me grab this one instead. Like that old boy. That's kind of cool. But oh, cassette tapes are underutilized. Can you think of any other effects that use cassette tapes? Because that is just a little archaic trinket that I love so much. have such good
I've
memories
always thought
with.
of trying to. There's a trick by Tenyo, and it's called the ninja holes or something. And it's like a little frame. So imagine like a little frame with legs, stood on the table, and you have a piece of plastic that has two holes in it, and you slide that plastic in, and the two holes are covered. And what you do is you place a pencil through one hole and you yank it and it goes down to the bottom hole, somehow penetrating through. And then you can slowly move it up in slow motion and you take it out. Well, I've
Yeah.
always thought that would be cooler if it was done using a cassette tape instead of a piece of plastic with two holes. You're like, oh, this is an old cassette type frame thing. Put a cassette tape in, the holes are covered, and you can shift the pencil up and down.
That
So I was
would
thinking
be.
more of visual stuff with that.
You know what's interesting? Before we started recording, we were talking for a little bit about some ideas and the stuff that we were doing. Well, actually, it's fine to say because it's not. We were playing around with 3D files of
Yeah.
certain objects. You could 100% find the 3D files for cassette tapes to do some fun things with. As a complete aside, just for 10 seconds, just because I'm interested, can you remember what the first cassette tape you ever bought was?
Yes, it was the Slim Shady LP, and I got my mother to buy it unknowingly for me.
Yeah, the reason I say is deja vu. We've had this conversation before because it's the same one I got.
Is it
Oh,
really? Is it actually for real?
yeah.
Fuck. I wait for you to reveal it now. I don't know if this is a piece, if this is a bit or not,
No, it wasn't a bit. It was just I had a sense of deja vu then talking about cassette tapes, weirdly enough.
Yeah, mine was the Slim Shady LP. I've still got it.
Yeah.
And then what else did I buy? I had, after it was released, I think I had Performance and Cocktails by Stereophonics on cassette.
Ooh,
But
nice.
it was long after it was released, I think. I think a Catatonia album, some shit.
Ooh. I think I got Gorillaz. I remember buying a load of Gorillaz stuff when I was younger.
Oh, they were fucking amazing. You know what would be cool? So I don't often like books that use printers
Yeah.
and stuff like that, but I do have like photos of, I don't know if I have photos where you can see like my like music in the background, but it would be fucking, I think for once it would actually kind of make sense if you
Yeah.
had a printer that would say like just, oh, like it's you, find a photo of yourself as a kid. I found one the other day in my nan, it's me in my nan's house. I'm sat on the carpet playing with my toys and there are three ashtrays around me. I look like I'm fucking walking out on the on stars in their eyes, like smoke everywhere. But it's like me in my pajamas. I'm like 5 or 4 years old, three ashtrays on the floor, and you can see certain things behind me. But it'd be cool if the app that you create for the printer would take a cassette that's named, do you remember the first cassette tape you ever, bought? And then it takes the image of it, skews it, distorts it so it's in the right position to be laid on the floor, and then puts it right in the background of a photograph. Then it prints it out. No, don't you want to take it out? And you're like, oh, this is fucking strange as fuck. But there's a photo in my wallet, and if you look really carefully, you can see a cassette in the background. I know it's the Slim Shady LP. I don't know if you can make it out, but and really distort the fuck out of it, shrink it right down. But if
Yeah.
they genuinely know what that cassette looks like, they would recognize it immediately.
Yeah, and even if it's a little bit blurry, shrunken down, like you say, because they can look up on their phone what the cover looks like and verify that it shit, that is that. That's true, man. I'm the same as you. Certain effects I don't know if they apply very well from a printer. I think that they're worth having just because of how versatile they are. And like we've played around in the past with thermographic stuff or printing on the fly. We've had whole episodes where we've talked about effects you can do with a cheap thermographic printer. But stuff like that, like I love Polaroids so much. Does
Yeah, an
Mark
old
Lemon have a really
Polaroid.
good Polaroid effect?
It's console, it's called. I'm not sure if it's on a Polaroid, if it's just on normal photos, but there's some great stuff on there. He has one of like the trick that he showed to me was when he pitched it, was it's him as a kid in a Spider-Man costume standing against the fridge, and there's a
Bridge,
four letter
yeah.
word spelled out above him. And that's
Yeah.
great. Because what I don't like is when it's like it reveals a playing card or something too, like I know like a cassette is kind of exact, but it's sort of, it's just like background fodder to the subject of the photo. Whereas like, oh, it's me holding a playing card, but the lighting is weird. You know what I mean? Like that shit is like, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
well,
know. Don't like that.
I have always wanted to work on something like that because the thing that I don't like about it is you are supposedly showing them this. It's a physical object. It is a photograph that was printed however long ago, but you know it's got artifacts that are quite obviously. I'm not talking about anything specifically. I just mean I have seen some in the past where it didn't look like a real photograph. And I always think to myself, is it that much harder just to like, once the process is written, have it automatically apply some filters to it or, you know, be a little bit pre-dated somehow?
You know what I found not long ago was a cassette, a VHS cassette of my third birthday party when I had a bouncy castle. I mean, grandmother made me a birthday cake and my uncles fucked it up with by having a food fight. And in the background, you can hear me. I can't remember what the music is, but you can hear music playing because they're playing music. All my friends there were all fucking about. And it'd be kind of cool if you were like, do you remember? You know, what your favorite or what song your mum used to play all the time growing up or something like that. And you're like, this is so weird, but I've got a video of me at my birthday party. Watch that video. And they just faint me in the background. It just sounds like the whatever song they're in is like playing over the speakers. So not like a direct music reveal, but you show them a video like and just by chance it's like one of the songs in the background on the speakers or something.
Yeah, dude. You know what you should do, right? Is just stick a hat on Thomas, cover his little light hair, and you just fake a like a vintage, you know, VH or actually record on a VHS with a fake date and timestamp, and have your mum ask a question, and just get him to answer a load of stuff and just archive it and say it's you.
Yeah. I put like fake VHS, like
Yeah.
scratches over it. That's clever. Yeah, put a date in the corner.
Just say, you know, can you repeat the number one for me, Thomas? Just go through every number.
Tell me every playing card, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh God, the thing is, I would be so tempted to do that. Kaylee wouldn't, it would probably stop me by saying it was too torturous.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe you just do it with something that's got 10 options, say. Who's your favorite Power Ranger,
Yeah.
Thomas?
Yeah.
Okay, name the other ones as well for And
Tommy, Kimberly,
yeah,
Billy, Jason, Zach.
go find like, you
What's
know,
the
one of your
big
friends' parents'
team?
houses where it's like looks like it's still, you know, 89 or something there. Like the furniture and the wallpaper.
Yeah. Find a house that's just yellow on the inside.
Yeah, with like the bubbly like ceiling.
Trini, that was the Yellow Ranger's name. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, yes it was.
She died in a car crash. And the Green Ranger killed himself not long ago, like a couple of years ago.
Yeah, man, the curse of the Power Rangers, bro.
Yeah.
Bad, bad times. Who was your favorite?
Jason. I mean, I don't know. Who's yours?
I always liked it when occasionally when the White Ranger popped up.
Yeah, but I always felt like he was stepping on the Red Ranger's toes because he was like the OG one, and then he came into it, you know?
Yeah.
Couldn't make his fucking mind up on the color either.
I used to really like the Pink Ranger as well. Can't remember her name.
Oh, dude, you're already a man. You know,
Yeah.
you're a friend but he's male, bro. Get inside
I used to
that
really like the who are the two like goofballs, like the two goffy kids in it?
Bulk and Skull.
Yeah. I love that archetype of characters because I like the guys from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as well. What are they called?
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah. They're my I used
Very
to have action
similar.
figures of them instead of
Did you?
yeah.
What? Oh, I didn't like the baddies, man. I was a goodie. I was always like the leader one as well. I was always the Red Ranger, the Blue Turtle. Like I was always Batman, never Robin. I was always Vinny in Bagamoyo.
Micro Mice from Mars. Hell yeah, man.
They're making a movie of that apparently.
Yeah, we were talking about it not long ago, and we were going over all these old properties, and we were like, fuck yeah, gargoyles.
Yeah, dude, I found my fucking Street Sharks on Sun on Monday.
Hell yeah.
I got loads of boxes of toys, right? Like my mum's attic is fucking chock-a-block with massive boxes of toys. So every couple of weeks, I'll take Thomas over and I'll go up and bring one of the. He's going through all the phases stuff, and so I go through and get a box out, and he'll just go fucking ape shit with all these toys because everything's coming back around again.
Yeah.
And the next time I go over there, I found the one that's got two massive fucking Batmobiles, original Spider-Man figures, Batman figures, and Ghostbusters like Winston and everything.
Oh yeah.
So that's the next box he's gonna go crazy for. I'm actually more excited than he is because he doesn't know. I haven't told him about it. But yeah, the other one I found my Street Sharks.
Hell yeah. My mum sold a load of mine on eBay. Which fair play. But there's some of them that
Yeah.
are capped. Some of them are capped. I used to have a really large collection of like horror movie
Snowballs.
action figures. Yeah, that too. But horror movie action figures.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and they were like the size of Action Men. So it was like, in these like presentational boxes, and it was Jason and Freddy and Ghostface Killer and stuff. I kept them in the boxes for years and years. And maybe about 7 years ago or so, I recently started seeing this girl, and it was coming up to her birthday, and she was like talking about these trips she'd always wanted to go on. And I sold all of these old horror figures, and I sold
Clever.
a load of comic books. I had boxes and boxes of like mint comic books, sold a load of them and made bank on eBay, and like bought us tickets to Norway and like stay in a load of cabins and stuff. And that that was a really, really fun just like out of nowhere haul from these old
That's
horror
pretty
action
fucking
figures,
cool.
man. Anyway, that's completely
Fuck.
besides the point. Is it worth quickly going through some of the other suggestions we've had? Or have you got more deja vu you need to explore? Or are you looking
I'm sure
chiseled
it'll come back to me.
because you need to run?
No, good. We're good. Let's do another one.
Okay. I don't know if you saw this or not. Rich messaged the other day. Rich Relish messaged about a presentation idea or like a plot point idea. And me and him talked about it for a little while. He was talking about the idea of jinxing oneself.
Jinxing oneself.
Yeah, so
Ooh, like a curse.
yeah, well, we were looking at the different angles of what it means to be jinxed or to say jinx. And so I think the initial idea he gave was kind of someone naming a card and then you dealing down and them saying when to stop, and they've jinxed themselves and they've ended up on their card or something. It was like kind of that idea. And then we explored it a little bit more, and we're going into the idea of, I don't know, like a jinx being an omen of bad luck, or like I don't know what the word is, like a jinx is like giving someone bad luck.
Yeah, the two ways I've always heard of jinxes were so a jinx is giving someone bad luck, like, oh, he's jinxed, don't come near me, sort of thing. And the other one was if two people said the same thing at the same time, then the jinx would be that you weren't allowed to talk until someone said your full name.
Yeah. So we in the we shared a couple of little ideas, and one of them that I had was based on that concept. And I'm a really, really bad mentalist right now because I can't remember the name of the ploy. But you know the whole thing where when someone is coming up onto the stage, you ask them what their name is.
Yeah,
Begins with a
it's
H.
not a Hoi principle. It's not the Hoi principle, but it's by Hoi, isn't it?
I
Or is it
don't
by some?
like Hoffinger or something. I don't know. It's not, I can't remember, and someone's gonna hate me for
Harbin?
that. I don't know. I'm a very bad mentalist. Whatever. It is what it is.
Blackstone? I don't know.
But anyway, this idea of asking someone's name, and then it's very, very light dual reality. They know that you already know their name, the audience doesn't. But if you ask someone's name on the way up to the stage, and then when you get on the stage, you say, "What was your name again? Sorry." And then at the same time as they say it, you say, "Robert." Jinx, okay, you can't speak now until three people say your name. And it was this way of you're forcing someone into a condition that seems like it fits, it goes like they can't speak, so then that gives you freedom to do other dual reality things because they can't speak until their name is said three times.
What if you explained it differently? You're like, I don't know whether you should set it up, but if you have like someone think of a name or a word, and then you say, like, have you ever heard of what a jinx is? Not the one where you curse somebody with bad luck for the rest of their life, but the jinx where if you both say the same thing at the same time, you're not allowed to speak, or the person's not allowed to speak. Whoever calls jinx, the other person is not allowed to speak until you say the name they're thinking of or the word they're thinking of, which could be years because then likely it'll come up. But let's try something. And then you're like, okay, you're going to pick a card over here. You're going to pick a different card over here. And
Yeah.
we're going to shuffle those two cards into the deck. I'm going to deal face up. When you see your card, shout stop. When you see your card, shout stop. And then they both shout stop on the same card because obviously you've forced the same card twice, but they think it's two different cards. Yeah, and they're like, stop up. And they go, oh, jinx, both of you. Or jinx you. You were first or you were last. You make it up. And you're like, okay, so you can't speak until that person says the word you're thinking of. And then you like, think of any word, and maybe they say like umbrella. And the person's like, holy fuck, that's the word I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Oh, that is fun. Just so that I don't get hung, drawn, and quartered. Dunninger's ploy, Joseph Dunninger.
Yeah, because I was thinking Dunja, because he has that famous quote, those who believe none will be necessary, no explanation will be necessary for those who don't, none will suffice. And that's the quote that I always attribute to that ploy, and I couldn't think of who it was that said it. Dunja. I think it's Dunja that said that quote as well, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it is, because I always associate the two things together.
Dude, you know what? I filled my head with too much fairies and goblins to remember names
Yeah.
and accredits on the fly. I have to look that
Many
stuff up, man.
fades. Yeah, so that's like a sort of analog way of doing it in the context of a trick of a
Yeah.
a card trick. But there's seven bestowing bad luck on someone is quite interesting because you could because at the end you can take it away.
Yes, like strength test kind of shit.
Yeah, and again, putting it into context of a card trick. Please don't fucking shoot me.
Ah.
It could be like, look. It's 52 cards. Take one, remember it. I'm now going to jinx you. You know? You're going to try and find your card by a multitude of different ways. So, first of all, take out a pile of cards. And because you're jinxed, your card won't be there.
Yeah.
Now deal and stop and deal a couple off to the side as you do it. Like, and because you're jinxed, your card shouldn't be there, you
Yeah.
know? And again, it's not there. Now cut half the deck, and I bet your card is not in that half of the deck because you jinxed. Take those cards, deal four piles. The top card of each pile won't be your card. You know, eventually they're left with three cards, say, on the table, face down. You palm their card back in at some point as the deck's been collected, you know. And then you're like, touch one card, touch another card. And you say, I'm now going to lift the jinx. Because the only card that's left is yours. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
You
I like
jinx them
that.
throughout and then you remove the jinx.
I like that. Especially because you can do that with a totem of some sort, which makes it a little bit more interesting for stage, maybe. You know, this shrunken head bestows bad luck on people. Can you keep hold of it during this next part?
Oh, what if it's you give someone a wishbone from a chicken and you say, this is cursed, this is a jinxed wishbone. Hold on to it for now. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to name any card in this deck that you can see, and we're going to try to find it. You know, so they go through and they can't find it. They can't find it. They can't find it. They're down to the last three cards, and then you say, "I need you to break that bad luck. Snap the wishbone." So you
Yeah.
go, and now just pick one of the three. You know, they turn it over, and it's their card.
I love that.
Finally.
I love that. Just a nice little layer presentation to something that can be achieved fairly easily.
I wonder if you can make it feel more, I don't know if it's the word sinister, but maybe like, look, this is a penny. And they say pick a penny for good luck. This is my bad luck penny. This penny was jinxed. The moment someone gave it to me, bad things started happening. Not severely bad, like, you know, life-threatening injuries or traumatic events and, you know, financial distress. But if I was hoping that my post would arrive before I had to leave so I could get my important document, it didn't arrive. I would buy milk and it would be gone off. Da-da-da would happen, da-da-da would happen. I'm going to give you this penny, right? And then now I perform the fucking stupid card trick, and now I say, and now at the end I say, look, you still have that penny. I want you to go and throw it into the ocean, or take it and buy a penny sweet so it goes in the cash register, because somebody else is gonna, I don't know. Or do you do something like this, where it's like, I'm gonna give you this unlucky 2 pence piece. Hold it tightly. We're gonna try and find your card. You can't find it. But now I want you to imagine that it becomes my lucky 10 pence piece. Open up your hand. It's now changed into the lucky coin. And oh, dude, what if it's this? Fuck about. Right. I got two coins. The silver coin is my lucky coin. The copper coin is my bad luck coin. I was given this and good things started happening, and I was given this and bad things started happening. Place them both in your hand. Take one coin out. Whichever coin you're left with, you'll either experience luck or bad luck, right? So you do the Greg Wilson impromptu copper silver, where you end up giving them both of the same color coin. So maybe, so you give them both the bad luck coin. They take one out, and you're like, look, keep hold of that coin. Maybe place it in your pocket so you can't see it. Or you give them both the silver coin, sorry, right? Both the silver coins. So now they place that silver coin in their pocket. They think it's bad luck. They think they've got bad luck, but they haven't, right? So now you say, you do the routine, and they can't find their card no matter what. And at the end, there's three cards left on the table, and you say, now look, this whole way through, you haven't. Maybe they don't even know which coin they've got. No, they do. They do. Right? It's more magical this way. You say, like, all the way through this routine, you've experienced bad luck. You've been unable to pick up your card no matter what you've done, because you've got what you think is bad luck. But what if I told you it was just perception? Luck does not exist. Blah, 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 blah. Then you change the coin from silver to copper. You're like, I had the bad luck coin all along, being right in front of your face. You just couldn't see it. Or maybe once they've given it to you early, you've placed it like out of the way. And it's been silver, but they just haven't noticed it the whole time. Maybe it's been like under a cup or in the box, like, oh, you felt like you've seen it for yourself. It was, you give me the good luck coin, so you must have the bad luck. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. You just thought you had bad luck, because that coin has been, I've had the bad luck coin all along. I've wanted you to succeed, but it hasn't. From my point of view, it's been bad luck. But from your point of view, it's good luck. Because if you touch any of those cards, it'll be your card. And if you check the coin in your pocket, you had the good luck all along.
That's cool, man. If you were to very, very visibly show them it being placed underneath like a coaster or a glass or whatever, and you just had a shell with the other coin underneath and just like sticky tape on the bottom of the glass as well.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking, as I said it, I sort of stopped for a second. It was like, because remember that Darren Brown theory episode where he talked about how luck doesn't exist? Because it doesn't exist. And yes, but he expressed it in a brilliant way. So you have copper, silver, shell, a coin unique thing, scotch and soda. Like, I've got a copper coin and a silver coin. This one is bad luck. This one is good luck. I'm going to reach in. I'm going to pull one out without knowing. Okay, I've got the good luck coin. I'm going to place that down. I'm going to keep my fist over here, squeeze tight the entire time, so nobody can get to it. But now, you do some series of events which are perceived as good luck and bad luck, or bad luck. And the thing is, there was no luck at all. Luck does not exist. It's not a real thing. Open up your hand, show it empty, and then. But I've got a more interesting thing, I think, Jake, which is
Okay.
this whole idea of it being bad luck versus good luck, right? So you say, you're going to experience, because you feel like you're unlucky, you're going to experience bad luck. Collect a card, gets lost, shuffled in. Look, no matter what you do, you cannot find your card. No matter how many ways you try, you will not find your card until they're down to three, right? But then you pull out a piece of paper, and it says, luck does not exist. Luck is only in the eye or the perception of the viewer. What if I told you that the luckiest thing you could do is eliminate every other card but your own? You're going to, if you know, the only bad thing that could happen in this scenario is that you will find your card before eliminating every other card in the deck. Now they perceive the trick completely differently, because they were trying to find their card, but the moment they thought they were trying to get rid of every other card, now it becomes a good luck trick. You're flipping luck on this head, but the way they perceive it. And now you're like, so at this point they probably got their hands on two of the three cards, you know. So at this point, if they haven't got their hand on their card, you can say, look, you're purposefully not trying to find your card. That was the goal that I've set out on this piece of paper from the very beginning. You just didn't think of it that way. You didn't see it that way. Your perception was of it to be bad luck. But turn over the two cards. What a good bit of luck that was.
Yeah, that's
Because you've done
nice.
exactly what I wanted you to do.
Yeah, that's nice because the two effects mirror each other then.
Yeah.
Like it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And again, it's like the whole, like, they thought it was either, you know, they thought it was bad luck, but really it was good luck. So it ties it off at the end, and, you know, it brings it full circle. It's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, I really like that. It's so fun, just these little kind of layers that you add to stuff that might be fairly traditional. It makes it, oh, actually, that is quite unique.
Yeah. I mean, what if it was like, I find out what your birthday is, right? Or what month? When is your birthday?
1st of November.
1st of November, right? I think I know that. But if I said to you, name your birthday month on the count of three. 1, 2, 3, November.
November.
Oh, you didn't say it. November. I'm like, oh fuck. We're jinxed. I have the same birthday month as you, but we just said the same thing. That's a bit of bad luck. I was going to show you a magic trick, but this is probably going to go really differently to how it was supposed to. The idea was you were going to pick a card, you're going to get lost in the deck, and you were going to find it straight away. But since you're jinxed, you're probably not going to be able to find this card no matter what you do. In fact, let's try it out. Let's just see. Pick a card, lose it, da 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 da. And I'm like, okay, well, it was supposed to just be whatever card you cut to would be yours, but I'm guessing that's not your card, right? Right. And now you're jinxed. No matter what we do, it's not. Fuck, we're not gonna be able to find it. Look, grab like five cards from the middle. None of them are yours, right? Yeah, this is the fifth time this month it's happened. Cut half the cards. I bet it's in the wrong half. Yep, not there. We'll get down to the last three. I'm like, isn't this a bit of bad luck now that you jinx? Said, or Jake, what if it's not bad luck at all? What if the bad luck was in your head? This is not being jinxed. We just happen to share the same birthday. If anything, that's quite a bit of good luck. The fact that we have something in common. I would see that as a positive thing. And what if we weren't trying to find, what if we were purposefully trying to eliminate every other card until we were left with just one? That would be much more lucky than if we found it straight away, because that's a 1 in 52 chance. And the more, no, actually, this doesn't make sense, but the more we get rid of cards, the less chances we are to be right, which is bullshit. But there's probably a better way of phrasing that. Like, touch one card, touch another card. What if I told you now the lucky thing would be to find every card but yours? Turn those two over. Boom, they're not your card. And now that jinx has been lifted because of the way you perceived it from the very beginning allowed you to create your own luck.
Well, what's good with that as well is it allows you to end with an affirmation similar to what we spoke about with the other stuff. So you can end with the whole affirmation being, it's not luck or good luck. It's is the glass half empty or is it half full? And it's how you view things. It's, you know, the context with which you view things. It's based on your own
Yeah.
personal
It's all
lens.
about whether your glass is half full or half empty. It's about being thankful for the fact you've got a glass to drink from.
Yeah.
Some wishy-washy bullshit like that.
Yeah, we love wishy-washy bullshit. I'm a mentalist, so I'm legally obligated to use wishy-washy bullshit. That's
It's
really
kind of
cool.
cool. The idea of flipping luck on its head. Well, that was my dog barking. So that's probably my cue to leave now.
Fair
So
enough.
good luck
Well,
to it.
I tried to get through as many of them as I could. We'll go through some more next time, maybe, because we have had a few suggestions that I keep telling people I'll get to.
I feel like it was a really exciting episode, man.
I really enjoyed that.
I'm now like in the zone. to create.
Good, good. Are you planning on working on anything exciting soon, or is it just creativity in general?
Just in general, gonna cross over that 100K mark in the next week or two on YouTube, so that's fun, I think.
Hell yes. That's been a long time coming.
Finally, it has been 2 years, I think. Hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
2 years with a 9 month shadow ban on YouTube, so would have been a bit quicker, but smooth sea never made a steady sailor.
Yeah, that's true, dude. You've probably learned more lessons from the videos that didn't do as well as you thought they would than the ones that did really well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, on that note, my wife has just brought me a Greg's steak bake. That means it's lunchtime. I gotta go, but I'll speak. Everyone, thank you all so much for tuning in. I've been Lloyd.
I've been Jake.
Speak to you all in the next episode.
Oof.